You're constantly working on the evolution of your own consciousness. As a consequence, it brings things into awareness that you would not realize that you had been missing before. Because there's a non-focus on specifics, there is not only a generality going on, there is also the awareness of specifics without blocking off other awarenesses. So as we're talking to you, for instance, I'm equally aware of talking to you and that there's a box of Kleenex right past my right elbow. So I'm aware of the box of Kleenex even though I'm talking to you, whereas when you're talking to me, you're not aware of the box of Kleenex. So with a sort of clearing of your consciousness, you're equally aware of the Kleenex or the docs, and it doesn't make any difference because one is not more important than the other. Because right now you're focused on a goal, so what I'm saying is not 100% pertinent because you're focused on a goal. And I'm not goal-focused right at the moment, just to be myself, and that doesn't require any focus. You don't resist them, and you don't give them undue importance or intention. So talking to you, although it sounds impolite, is no more important than being aware there's a box of Kleenex there. They're all equal, because they all represent reality, and therefore all in reality is of equal importance. The entire thing is complete and perfect in and of itself. So there isn't anything we have to do with this room to make it better. You accept the fact that there's nothing but peanut butter and bread in the house to eat. So you got peanut butter and bread in the house to eat. So what is your complaint? So in a purified state, you let go wanting to change anything. You let everything be as it is. And then see the perfection and beauty of all that exists. And know that God supplies all that is needed. And if something further is needed, it will be provided or you will be moved to go for it by non-resistance, by acceptance. And you will say, well, I think I'll look in the top shelf. There might have been a box of crackers, and by God, there is. It's what we perceive as challenges. It's a threat to the things that we're attached to. So if I'm worried about something, that means I've become attached to it. So what I do, anyway, what I do personally, is I surrender my attachment to it or my belief that I need it for happiness or for life itself. Okay? And the things that people desire and crave for are really niceties. You know, when it comes down to reality, to exist, you really need very little. I existed for months with, I had a six-pack of Diet Pepsi and a piece of cheese in the refrigerator. That was it. For years, I had the opportunity to leave the world and do nothing but pursue a spiritual goal and direction. So I was willing to let anything go, and I did let go just about everything. We try to let go our attachment and our aversion, our attachments and our aversions, and see that they're really frills. Most of them are frills. Saying, you know, I couldn't live without a so-and-so. Well, you could. You don't need your mittens. You can keep your hands in your pockets. So what do you need mittens for? And so after a while, you find out that what you actually need is very little. What you actually need is very little. I always had two jobs. I was a cab driver during the day and a bartender at night, you know what I mean? And on the way home, I'd peddle newspapers. So, I mean, I always had two or three things going because that was just the vitality that I had. I don't take any credit for it. It's just the way I was put together in this lifetime. With a certain drivenness and determination, go-go-ness. Yes, the error of seeing happiness as something outside of yourself, something to be gained. Happiness, the value of things is purely a projection, each and every thing of its own. If you were starving to death in the middle of the desert, the Hope Diamond wouldn't do you much good. So desirability then, what's called glamour, the energy of glamour, is projected onto things. We think the attractiveness is out there. There's no attractiveness out there. All attractiveness is in here. It's because you desire that and want it and value it that it looks desirable and attractive to you. Pickled beets look very good to you if you like pickled beets, and if you don't, they don't attract you, you know. So the projection of value onto the external world, and that, of course, is the basis of materialism, and the whole economy is based on wanting this and wanting that and wanting something else. And to instill such wants. If you don't want something, you'll get programmed to wanting it. So there's no end to programming people to wanting this. So wanting this is the backbone of our economy. The backbone of our economy is wanting this. And when people stop wanting things, it all comes to a halt. But when you let go wanting the physical, then you want the emotional and you want the spiritual. What you're looking for, the world cannot provide. When you're looking for the return of love, a glance of love is all that you really wanted that entire day. One glance of love is enough for the entire day. Enough for a week, if it's the right person. Just a glance. So you see how powerful love is. Just a fleeting glance of love, instantly. Your heart swells up, you feel fine, you're great. You can live without money, you can go bankrupt, but love is the one thing that we value above all else. As you do just ordinary spiritual work, these phases come up. There's the phase of the continuous miracles. Miracles begin to happen, and not only do they happen, but they start to become continuous, continuous. And then the infinite power of love begins to manifest. And you see how infinitely loving everything is. And that all that matters is love itself. And you get to a certain state where you cry easily with love because a glance of love, and it just knocks you out because it's so overwhelmingly blissful. So you get into a state of bliss, loving bliss.